Wake up call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good morning to you. Happy Wednesday. All right, happy play-in game in the NBA yesterday. I wasn't impressed because I never felt that there was a sense of urgency, but I was impressed with Jason Tatum. He had 50 points for the Celtics as they beat Washington 118 to 100. Now, the Wizards are still alive because they'll face the Indiana Pacers with the right to be the eighth seed, while the Charlotte Hornets got blown out last night, 144 to 117 to Indiana, so their season is now over with. Big headline for the Celtics, though, was Jason Tatum and his 50 points. Kemba Walker had 29. But it was a headline that said, Jason Tatum scores 50. Is it enough to beat the Nets? I think the answer is zero. No, it isn't. It isn't enough. Like, he's not going to score 50 points consistently in helping the Celtics beat the Brooklyn Nets in a seven-game series, even if Brooklyn's defense needs a little bit of work. But again, I wasn't too impressed. I saw a little bit of the first game. I watched a lot of the Celtics last night. It didn't feel playoffy. It didn't feel back against the wall. It didn't have any of those feelings at all. That doesn't mean that this is still an idea that doesn't need to be tweaked a little bit or an idea that can be refined. But when I was watching Indiana and Charlotte, I think I watched the first half of that game before it was a 24-point lead at halftime. I never felt that this was an urgent game. And this is a game where the loser was going home. Just like tonight, you have Memphis and San Antonio, and the loser is going home. But I never got a Game 7-ish feel, even though that's what it was. And I think a lot of it was because Indiana was blowing Charlotte out of the water, but the announcers for the game last night, I think it was Spiro Dedis on the call. Even they were trying to keep you interested, trying to tell you that Charlotte could come back in this in any moment, but they couldn't. And in the Boston game, and even though that wasn't a Game 7-ish feel, but I mean, Washington still has a second chance, I never got that either. They looked like regular season games to me, and I don't want that in a one-game sort of scenario that has a level of importance. If you're going to sell this, it's got to be a level of this is a do-or-die situation. Even if you are Washington and you get to play again, that's how you're going to sell little games like this against teams that did not finish very well during the regular season. But coming up, the Celtics did have an issue I want to get to next.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, if you'd like to hit the show up on Twitter, you can at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. Trade up any non-contact thermometer for a $5 rebate towards an Exergen purchased at any retailer. Accuracy matters more than ever when taking temperature. Published research shows non-contact models miss 5 out of 6 fevers. Upgrade to Exergen, the only home forehead thermometer proven accurate by published peer-reviewed clinical studies. Details at Exergen.com. All right, so again, last night, the Celtics win, getting 50 points from Jason Tatum, and they beat Washington. Washington will now face Indiana. The winner gets the Philadelphia 76ers in the opening round, while Boston will have to settle for Brooklyn and the super team. Before the game, there was this buzz that was going around that Brad Stevens was going to be coaching for his career with the Celtics. And then Wojo put that down and said, no, he's going to be coming back. Which, look, I understand some of the angst. I mean, it wasn't a very good season for Boston. There were injuries. There was COVID issues. And overall, they didn't play very good defense. The Celtics had a lot of issues going into the season. That's one of the reasons they fell apart down the stretch. And they were never they made it to the conference finals last year in the bubble. And this year was supposed to be one of those years that they were in the mix, right? Maybe on the bottom end of the mix, but still in the mix of contenders for the conference crown. But then again, it just sort of, Jason Hayward had left and was all kind of coming apart. And Brad Stevens really didn't navigate all of that particularly well. Nevertheless, the idea that Brad Stevens was kind of fighting for his job it's an easily dismissed thing because the Celtics, in general, have liked what Brad Stevens has brought to the table. Now, this win does, though, sort of, you know, soften the blow, if you will, because losing to a super team like Brooklyn that's going to have all three of its stars ready to go for the playoffs is not a reason to fire your coach. Now, maybe putting yourself in a position to have to play Brooklyn in the opening round, that's a reason to fire your coach, but that's not going to happen. Stevens has done more with his opportunity as getting into the NBA than I've seen anyone in a long time. This was the guy at Butler that led the team to two national championship games, losing to Duke and UConn. And then as a very young man, got his start in the NBA, taking a Celtics team that was in the rebuilding process and then getting him in the playoffs almost immediately. And the thing about that was, I remember thinking at the time when they hired Stevens was it was a win-win for both. You need a coach that was going to take over a team that was rebuilding and was probably not going to be very good, and maybe big names would be staying away from. Like, if you were looking to hire guys that were in the running for other jobs, you couldn't sell that particular Celtics team to somebody very popular that had other options to coach elsewhere. So you take a hot name in college, you bring him into the league, and for Stevens, it was a chance to learn the NBA. Right? Learn the rhythm of the NBA. A lot different from college in terms of scheduling, in terms of load management, all of those things that you need to do. You need to know the officials, the arenas, and again, managing your schedule. A chance for him to do. Well, he won immediately. And all of a sudden, the Celtics became a powerful team. So again, a season where COVID has kind of plagued you, injuries have plagued you, a upending roster, different things that you've tried haven't worked. Defensively, again, not really a strong suit for this Boston team. I don't think that would have been a reason for Danny Ainge and the Celtics to part ways with the guy that did a very, very good job the second he got to Boston. So I was glad that was shot down. But as I said at the top, I think this is an idea that if it's going to grow on me, I need these games to have a feeling like there was something urgent on the line, and I didn't get that. Both of these games weren't really that competitive, especially the Indiana game. They never trailed. They went out to a huge lead. Charlotte had absolutely zero, and I mean zero for the Pacers last night. And the Celtics, I mean, you get 50 points from one guy and 29 points from another. It's especially you're playing, you know, home, even though it's not full capacity, you run off to an 18-point lead. No, you know, 18-point win. Now, tonight's the big one, right? Tonight's the Lakers and Golden State. Now, it's a late start for a lot of people in America, so there may not be a lot of eyeballs on this game. I don't think, in the end, you're giving your marquee matchup of this play-in tournament, this idea that you want to sell to the American sports public as a great idea. Golden State Lakers is a 10 o'clock start on the East Coast. That is just not sellable. I know it's out in Los Angeles, and you got to put it on the back end of a doubleheader of Memphis-San Antonio, and that's the time you do it, but 10 o'clock Eastern for a game that on the East Coast. And this is the best game of the four games that you're offering for this play-in tournament. And then this tournament continues, because as I said earlier, Washington has to play Indiana, and the loser of this game plays the winner of Memphis and San Antonio. So it's going to take a couple of days to sort it all out, but then we get to the real playoffs, which is going to be starting coming up this weekend. But in the end, it's worth a try for the NBA to sort of expand the interest in the postseason. But how much interest was Charlotte giving a game in which they were trailing by 24 points at halftime? I don't think people in Charlotte were like, well, with a 3-point shot, we might be able to get back into this. I think most of them went, yep, okay, season's over. Thanks. Thanks, Lonzo Ball.
Didn't you get the feeling that
LaMelo Ball?
They showed up like, yeah, we have no chance. Let's not even try.
Yeah, I know. Especially Charlotte. Charlotte got blown out immediately. I mean, that game was out of hand immediately.
Saw one tweet that said, this would never happen to the Charlotte Bobcats.
That's funny. Doug McDermott scored like 16 points in the first quarter.
Yeah.
He finished with like 21 or something.
And he's not that great of a player.
Sabonis pulled down 21 rebounds.
It was
killed Charlotte.
Which ball do they have?
They have LaMelo Ball, right? Charlotte?
Yeah, they have LaMelo.
LaMelo Ball. Right? Getting them all confused.
But these two playing games have to have Adam Silver worried.
A A little bit, yeah.
Like, oh my God, is this what I can expect? Let's hope Lakers Warriors can save
because
the day.
You're not just trying to sell like the game, like to the markets. You're saying like this is, you know, hey, look, these guys are fighting for their lives. Isn't this? But it didn't feel that way last night. I didn't feel like, and a lot of it was because Indiana was up by so much. And Charlotte just had a really awful night shooting and just you've never found a way to get back into that game. The game was an afterthought. And then last night with the Celtics Washington, I felt the same way. Now, look, the Wizards, again, aren't eliminated. I have to make that point. So that wasn't a game seven-ish feel. I mean, they're going to play the Pacers in a game seven-ish situation now, but that's it. You know, but Boston just sort of went, all right, you know, Tatum's going to score 50 and then let's get out of here. Let's go get trounced by Brooklyn in five games. And that's the other thing, too. I mean, I think in baseball, the one game wild card works because, you know, momentum is only good as your next day's starter. And so there's an element of baseball where just getting into the postseason, you can make something happen if you've got a hot pitcher that can eliminate, you know, that can keep you in games. And because teams win all the time against, you know, bad teams win against good teams all the time in baseball. That's the nature of the sport. But what was this game last night, the Wizards and Celtics? What was the prize? The prize was to get beat by Brooklyn.
Yeah.
That was the prize.
We saw a bunch of teams, you know, in the Western Conference final day. Nuggets and, Clippers. You know, all saying, we don't really want the two seed.
Right.
You can go ahead and have it, Utah.
Yeah, sure.
Phoenix.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, so... That's a little bit of a better angle tonight than seeing a Celtic team that lost, you know, Jaylen Brown and, you know, kind of, again, a team that doesn't play good defense, injuries, COVID, all those things that have affected this team. Look, I think they get a game. I mean, I'm always going to give a team with some talent a game in a series. I don't think they get swept, but they're not going to beat the Brooklyn Nets.
No.
So you're watching the game for what? You're watching the game to see who is going to have to deal with the big three superstar laden championship caliber team that is Brooklyn. That was the prize that was awaiting Boston when the buzzer sounded last night. Now, you're right. In the game against Golden State versus the Lakers tonight, the winner of that game gets Phoenix, and you could go, well, now game on, Phoenix. You got to take on one of these teams, where one team in particular. Now, Golden State had to earn it, you know, because they had only had Steph Curry, but the Lakers are in this thing because LeBron James had been out for a long period of time with injury. And, you know, they suffered some losses. Even though they played hard in a lot of games, they wouldn't be in this situation if they had LeBron healthy all the way through and Anthony Davis healthy all the way through.
I often wonder, too, I mean, you know, LeBron James was injured, but is there a part of him, too, like, yeah, you know what, as long as these guys don't play so horrible, I can be really rest up before the playoffs?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
He's been the front runner, the voice of, hey, too many games in a short amount of time. Hey, we didn't have much of a long offseason. Why are we starting on this date? We should be starting on this date. He really was pushing for some extra rest. So I'm also wondering, you know, okay, was this a ploy to like get a little bit extra rest before the playoffs? Because that's what matters to him most.
Right. And I think you're right. I mean, as good as Utah is, as good as Phoenix is, he's not afraid of any of those teams. He knows when he's healthy and Anthony Davis is healthy, they are more than capable of beating any team regardless of their record.
Well, they won it all last year.
So again, he is not concerned about seeding like I don't want to accuse teams of tanking towards the end, but it did seem like teams did not want the two seed.
No,
right?
I don't think the Clippers and the
Nuggets weren't interested in the two seed. Now, That's just my observation. If I ask them, they certainly will deny it. But it seemed to me those teams, especially the Clippers, they lost to Oklahoma City, for crying out loud.
Right.
Oklahoma City was giving games away because they didn't have anybody on their roster.
And to you and I, it makes all the sense in the world.
Of course.
Like, why would you want to face that juggernaut in the first round of the playoffs? Yeah. Or is that the second round? I don't know.
Well, the Nuggets know they can handle Damian Lillard. They've beaten Portland a couple of times this year. They know they can handle him. They know they're in good shape to win that series. But you don't want LeBron and Anthony Davis healthy. You don't want to mess with that. That's too many variables. It's too, because seeding gets thrown out the window. They're not a traditional set. Like the Boston Celtics is a seven seed. They are a legit seven seed. They're not very good. They're beat up, as I was saying earlier. They've done some things this year that are just head scratching, but they've also had to overcome some a change in the roster, etc. The Lakers are not a seven seed. They're not a traditional seven seed.
No.
They're one of the best players in the league, in LeBron James and Anthony Davis, the two top players in the league on their team. And when they're on and to get playing well, they're not a seven. That's not it. That's not the way it is. So with that, you know, that being said, that's the only thing. That's the only game where you got a feeling like there's some significant payoff at the end of the result tonight. All right, coming up next, we're going to revisit old unwritten rules in Major League Baseball, and do they still have a place? Because one old manager thinks they do. That's next on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along. It is Wake Up Call, SportsNap Radio. I want to say happy birthday to my friend Robin from high school. I just found out on Facebook it's her birthday today, so I'm wishing her happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Robin.
That way I can tell her I said happy birthday to her.
That's right.
She was a good friend in high school. She was a good kid. So, well, now she's, you know, obviously a mom with a kid in college, so she's not a kid anymore. But happy birthday, Robin.
Yeah, and at 29, looking good.
That's right. She was a trumpet player. She was a very good trumpet player in high school. And I was a trumpet player, and I was terrible. I was third chair. Do you know what it is to play third chair and trumpet?
No idea.
Okay, this is how it is. When the music sheets come out and they say, hey, we're going to do the Star Wars theme for the upcoming concert, right? And you're like, wow, we're going to play Star Wars at the concert? Oh, that's awesome. So we're going to practice Star Wars? Yay! The first group, right? The first chair, a trumpet, they might get... Third chair gets... They get to keep kind of the beat. They don't get to do the exciting musical stuff. That was me. I was third chair trumpet. And you know why? Because I don't have any musical talent, but two, I never practiced. I never practiced.
No,
I never
when there's sports on TV.
I know. I never brought my trumpet home. I never practiced. I just wanted to do it because friends of mine did it, and I took it as long as I possibly could before I finally quit. And in my closet, in my house right now, is my trumpet from fifth grade that I took all the way through to 10th grade in third chair. I still have it, but I stunk at it. I was terrible. I have no musical gifts whatsoever. So, Tony La Russa. Now, speaking of gifts, Tony La Russa, the manager of the White Sox, and they have the best record in Major League Baseball. So, hey, good for him on that, right? But when Yermin Mercedes hit a home run.
You still need to make a walk, by the way.
I do. I do need to make a walk. I didn't even walk from Nashville to Chicago, but I did have a knee injury. Maybe my doctor will let me out of that. Getting out of that. Just in case you're just joining the show, like if you've just discovered this program, I was so adamant that the Tony La Russa rumors that he was going to be hired by the White Sox were ridiculous. Were just a little trial balloon, a tease that the White Sox, who had a talented young team, really good team, like a team that, you know, it could contend. We're going to hand the keys of that machine to a 76-year-old man who coached the White Sox in the 1970s. I thought that was insane. I said, this isn't going to happen. Someone's throwing this out there. This is just red meat for the media. This will not occur at all. At all. Then, sure enough, the White Sox had a press conference, and they did announce Tony La Russa to be the manager of the team, bringing back a dinosaur into a team that is a young, talented, very talented baseball team. Yermin Mercedes hit a home run on a 3-0 count, but he didn't just hit a home run on a 3-0 pitch. He hit it against a catcher infielder that was pitching, throwing 47-mile-an-hour toss-up balls. Right? So La Russa, because he believes in unwritten rules of baseball, threw Mercedes completely under the bus. He said, there's consequences to this. He's going to learn how to play the right way. No, this is a mistake. Absolute mistake. So, yeah, it was a rout. The White Sox, they destroyed the Twins. And you know what? In a way, he's right. It was a blowout. It's a 3-0 pitch. There's an unwritten rule. You don't swing on a 3-0 pitch. The Twins broadcasters were pretty ticked off about it. And given the circumstances, it was, again, a non-pitcher on the mound and a blowout. It was the final score ended up 16-4. That home run made it 16-4. So there's all these, circumstances that make you go, eh. But the problem is optics, right? If the White Sox were managed by a 38-year-old former player, a 40-year-old former player, up-and-coming talent, if he was the one that said, you know what, I just don't think we should play that way, given the circumstances, I think he does need to learn the kind of the way we do it here. I get what he's trying to do. He's taking advantage of the situation. He's kind of raised to take advantage of those kind of situations. So in the Dominican Republic, there's an old line on the in baseball that you don't walk off the island. I mean, that's why a lot of Dominican Cuban players, they swing at a lot of different, you got to make a name for yourself. So you swing at a lot of different pitches. You're always, reaching for shots because walks don't get attention. Drawing walks don't get attention. So you swing at every opportunity, and it's sort of ingrained into the culture that that's what you do, and maybe that was the case here. The problem is La Russa is 78 years old? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a grandpa, and when grandpas complain about things, we tend not to really listen to them.
No, he's a guy who sticks to the code.
Right, exactly. Even when they're valid. Right? I overstated his age. La Russa is 76, so he's not 78, right?
Yeah, give him those 2 years back.
Right? Like, you ever go into a restaurant and somebody goes, it's cold, and it's like 95 degrees outside, but the air they're sitting right underneath the air conditioning vent.
Yeah.
And they want the AC shut off of the entire restaurant. You tend to pretend you turn it off and like, right? Like when elderly people complain, you tend to go, all right, I get it. It's
bad.
I understand. They used too much sugar in the cookie. All right. But so in a way, he's right. Again, a 40-year-old manager may have said the same thing. A 76-year-old dinosaur saying this makes it look like he's just grumpy old man. Right? But here's the thing. And Steve Gardner, our friend from USA Today, had a column on this. There was a couple of things here. One, if you don't like this from your 28-year-old rookie, if you don't like this, tell him privately and then just say to the press, yeah, we dealt with it internally.
Yeah.
You don't have to throw your player, one of your star players, under the bus to the media and the public the second you have an opportunity to do so. Right? And Gardner points out something else. For all of the Minnesota faithful that are like, oh, for the good of the game, the right way to play, throwing a catcher who's throwing 47-mile-an-hour bloopers to the plate isn't exactly respecting the game either. Right? I mean, that's not exactly playing the right way either. You're just begging to get tagged when you do that. I mean, so again, it's more optics than whether or not La Russa is wrong. La Russa's not wrong, but again, it's the approach. I mean, it's, I think most of us would agree that hitting a home run on a 3-0 pitch in a 16-4 blowout is probably not the wisest thing to do, right? But so what?
No, but we dealt with this. It was last year, right? With Fernando Tatis.
Fernando Tatis, right. He had a grand slam.
He had a grand slam on a 3-0. Yeah. It was a 3-0 pitch and game was out of hand. Baseball needs to make a decision. Do you want to appeal to a younger crowd or do you want to keep it traditional?
That's right. That's a great point.
And I think that's what the large issue is here now, is that make a decision. Do you want to be young and fun and video game-ish? Or do you want to, have this still be your grandfather's baseball? Because you can't have it both ways.
Right. And the younger generation has every right to say, who are just sort of getting into baseball, to say, all right, why isn't he allowed to hit a home run?
Yeah.
Because the game's out of hand and the guy's throwing 47-year-old bloopers. Well, whose fault is that?
Right.
Like, they have every right to sort of go,
why is he not allowed to swing on a 3-0 pitch?
Exactly. It's because we have to keep the game in some sort of some sort of respect? What are you kidding? So that is a legitimate conversation. La Russa just appears to be kind of grumpy at this, which is what he's probably going to be.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. Hey, Free All Deep Penetrating Oil delivers three times more lubricant, getting deep into rusted and frozen parts, freeing them with ease. The formula takes less spray, less torque, and less time than any other penetrating oil to get the job done. Some of the popular uses: seized engines, stuck ball joints, exhaust manifold removal, frozen emergency brake cables, threaded pipe connectors, rusted nuts and bolts, axle nut removal. Again, Free All Deep Penetrating Oil. It's going to take less spray and less torque, so that means less time. It's also body shop safe, which means it's safe on paint, plastic parts, and silicone free. Where can you find it? AutoZone, O'Reilly, Napa, and on shelves in selected Walmart stores. That's Free All Deep Penetrating Oil. All right, file this next story under stupid. Dino Gaudio, he was a former Louisville basketball assistant coach, has been federally charged. You know, it's one thing to be charged, Ron. It's another to be federally charged. Somehow that sounds more ominous, right? When you're getting the federal government involved in it. He tried to extort money and other things from the university after he was let go. He, quote, threatened to report to the media allegations that the University of Louisville men's basketball program had violated NCAA rules in its production of recruiting videos for prospective student athletes. Oh, heavens to Betsy. And its use of graduate assistants in practice. Oh, my God. Unless the University of Louisville paid his salary for an additional 17 months or provide a lump sum equivalent of a 17-month salary. Remember, this is a university that Rick Pitino lost his job because they were bringing strippers into 17-year-olds to entertain them so that they would play for the program. And he was going to nail them on graduate assistance in practice and its production of recruiting videos? What would those recruiting videos that would require the NCAA to step in and hammer the Louisville basketball program? I'm sure this was easily dismissed, but again, according to the charge, Gaudio sent a text message to the Louisville personnel containing one of the recruiting videos he was threatening to send to the media. And because that text message, oh, this is great, because it traveled outside of the state of Kentucky, he was now charged with interstate communication with the intent to extort.
Fantastic.
Think about your crimes before you commit them. That's my lesson of this of this story.
But in all fairness, would you think that was a crime?
I don't know. I don't think you would, but he's like 64, so don't you think he should have checked in with somebody? Like, hey, I'm going to blackmail the university unless I get 17 months salary.
Right,
I'm going to tell them that I know some bad things about the program. Yeah, it sounds like blackmail to me. That sounds like it's illegal.
No, it does sound like
blackmail.
Well,
it's only illegal if I stay in the state, right?
I'm just talking about
the interstate communication with intent to extort charge.
Yeah, I wouldn't know that's a crime at all.
Dino Gaudio, that is so great. He was an assistant under Chris Mack. He was let go. He was not happy. That's the story Louisville is saying. That when he was renewed, he was
just
really
angry. You know what it is? He's just trying to ride that Louisville bandwagon right now.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, you know what? They still have a lot of skeletons in this closet over here. I'm pulling out another one. Look at this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what they should do. They should be like, okay, listen, you're in a lot of trouble still from the Rick Pitino scandal. And let's not call it the Rick Pitino scandal. That was actually my term. Because he still claims he had no idea what was going on with his assistant coaches. But they had accountability issues, and that's what got them in trouble by the NCAA. So Gaudio was probably like, look, you guys don't need any more NCAA headaches. Why don't you just cut me a check and I'll let this go? I'll let this other stuff go away, or I could release this and make your problems that you're currently dealing with even worse. And that was probably the angle he was taking. But listen, Do I blame him? No. I mean, you know, when you get let go from a place, it does hurt. You're angry and you do want to hurt the people that hurt you. I get it. There's a lot of pride that's going on here. But he should have pulled himself back and went, okay, what am I going to do? And how is this appropriate? Like, could I get in trouble for this?
Yeah, I mean, just swallow it.
Yeah.
Swallow the pride.
Just walk away and just be like, all right, I didn't make it. I'm not, I got to go find another gig. I got a resume, but, you know, see, he's got to sit back and go, because he was a former coach at Wake Forest. He's got to pull himself back and go, look, I got a good resume. I've been around for a long time. You know, Rick Pitino was swimming in this scandal and now is the head coach at Iona and led the team to the NCAA tournament. There's a second chance for all of us in terms of coaching. I don't need to be federally charged with extortion added to my list of woes. So, oh, goodness. I was a fill-in play-by-play announcer for Air Force basketball. I used to fill my boss, my PD, was the voice of basketball. But when he had football games, I was the guy that would do the basketball games. And I got to go on a road trip to North Carolina with the team to face Wake Forest when Dino Gaudio was there at Wake Forest. And it was really eye-opening because it was around New Year's Eve that we had the game. And, you know, Air Force played at Clune Arena, which is a nice arena, but it's not ACC basketball. And this was like eye-opening to me that, you know, Wake Forest was a big program. Like, here it was, school was down, everyone was home for the holidays, it was like a day before New Year's Eve. And that place was filled and was exciting and it was energetic. So he's had like a moment at a very, very good program on his resume. This just, you know, you gotta sometimes eat it a little bit, be an assistant for a while before you get back in the ranks. But now you know, at 64 years old, he's charged with a federal crime. Oh, I just like the things he was going to go after. To me, the funny part about this story is the stuff he was going to hit Louisville with that was going to make them shake in their boots. Yeah, and we used graduate assistants in practice, which if you check page 75, section 43, subset C, we're not allowed to do. So that's going to be a problem for you. And also, we produced some recruiting videos for student athletes, and we may have broken section 52, subset H. So if you want to take a look at that, you know, that's up to you. But I wouldn't have any problem dropping off my file to the NCAA office unless I get my money. I'm sure Louisville is like, send away. we have more problems than we have to deal with right now. We were actually told we've been irresponsible with young 17-year-old students. So if we had a graduate assistant in practice, oh, well.
Yep.
Right? Like, we literally were told that we took 17-year-olds to this campus, put them under our care, and handed them strippers to entertain them with. You think a graduate assistant running practice is going to make us, you know, lose sleep?
Make us blush?
You got to be kidding me. That's all you got, Dino?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. If you're going to extort Louisville, you better put them in the JFK assassination.
No, you know what I mean? Yeah, you need to make stuff up.
You need to be like, yeah, and JFK, I'm sure the Louisville basketball program had something to do with that back in the day. Take their national championship from 86 and be like, we paid everybody on that team, including Never Nervous Purvis.
Yeah.
You better come up with something much deeper than graduate assistant at practice.
I'm curious. I mean, you know, he has recruiting videos, right?
Yeah.
What's on it?
What is on those? Right. Yeah.
Do we get to see the recruiting process that we
come to Louisville
that we've come to love and know?
Candy and Luscious will entertain you every single night of the week during the season. Is that what he's talking about with recruiting videos?
Yeah.
Stripper poles and parties all night long in Louisville. Come play basketball for the Cardinals. If that's on the video, then maybe he's got something.
Yeah, but you got to be tactful. You can't just have them, right? You know, you just can't have nakedness. You got to be almost like subliminal.
If you had players on the video like, after I get a double-double, there's $1,000 in my locker. Thanks, Louisville. Like, if that's on the video, then you got something, right?
We need an SNL skit that does that.
Exactly. That's totally true. My mother needed a brand new car to get to and from her three jobs. Louisville provided that car. And I responded by scoring 38 points against Duke. It's a trade-off. Thanks, Louisville. Yeah, if that's the video, and maybe he's got something. But I'm sure it isn't.
Yeah, it's just some grad assistant coaching practice. Like, see, I got him on tape.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Like, who did he go to? That's the big question I got about. There's so many questions I have about this silly story. Like, who did he tell? Like, who did he make the demand to?
Or who did you talk about? Like, who did he try to blackmail first?
Right. Like, okay. You know, like, if you try to blackmail, like, a bank, right, and you say, I want $3 million, and the bank goes, we don't have $3 million. Like, you think we have $3 million in the vault here? We don't have $3 million. Like, there's only so much. Like, did he go to a person like, I want 17 months either in a lump sum or monthly payouts on my salary? And the person was like, I don't know. I don't control that.
Yeah.
That's the accounting department. You go to them. You could fill out paperwork. I don't think I can. I don't know. I don't think I can. Oh, Dino Gaudio.
Just seems like, I mean.
There's a mugshot of Dino Gaudio. I want to see it.
Yeah.
Like, there's a federal mugshot.
Because you have an image in your head right now, don't you?
Oh, of course.
Of what he looks like, yeah.
He's like holding up that what is that? That little plaque you get?
Yeah, which staring. I'm surprised they still use that.
I know. Just holding it up like, oh, God, what did I do?
Because here's the thing, right? How many times are they walking around like, hey, anybody seen the G?
Right.
Because yeah, you
right.
always lost those letters.
That's so true. Oh, Dino Gaudio.
Just use That's a C great. And then break this one piece off. That's what I've been doing.
It's like college sports can't get more silly, right? Now you got this
No,
story.
I mean, because you have this. I mean, read the room, Gino.
Right,
you have,
exactly.
You have two coaches who have been indicted by the FBI that are still coaching.
They're still coaching.
One will have Bill Self will have the arena named after him.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That's why I would say read the room.
God, they're not gonna sweat these things. They're not
no,
sweating these things. These
not
schools
at all.
Don't,
they don't
sweat
care.
At all. They do not care.
Whatever,
not
bring
care.
It.
Absolutely. Yeah. Bring your stupid video and graduate assistant at practice charge.
Louisville,
I think we'll survive it.
But did Louisville even have any games suspended?
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah,
I don't think they did, and all they did was, you know, they fired their coach.
Yep,
saying you should have had more knowledge of this. We're just saying that because we know you know, but you're saying you don't, so we're going to agree with you and say
that's why never listen for all of you out there. If you ever hear a talk show host on the radio, sports talk show host on the radio, say that guy's never coaching again.
Oh.
Don't
believe him.
Don't believe him. That's a little overreaction.
I mean, there's the rare...
Unless it's a bad, serious sexual assault thing.
The
like
rare exception. And he's literally the only one, right?
Yeah, but if you hear a coach slipping, yeah, right. He's the only one.
He's the only exception to that rule.
If you hear a host say, he gave that recruit $100 to buy groceries, he'll never coach again. Bull, yeah, whatever. No, that's not how it works. Yeah,
no, he's hired immediately because
hired
the guy's
immediately.
Like, hey... We have ways to hide that better.
Because if you're Kansas and you fire Bill Self, he could wait out the, like Kelvin Sampson, wait out some sort of NCAA penalty.
Yep.
And then he'd go to another school and kill you when the time comes.
Exactly.
Right? Right? Like, you don't want to lose. Like, you could just go, well, fine. When Texas Tech or Kansas State or whoever has an opening, I'll just jump right there and beat you at Allen Fieldhouse.
Yeah. Kelvin Sampson spent 5 years in coach jail.
Right. Then as soon as he's out, he's working with Houston trying to build the program, but eventually got into the Final Four. God
exactly.
bless him.
Yeah.
That's how it works. Like I said, Rick Pitino led the Iona Gales to the NCAA tournament.
Right.
At one point, he was coaching in Greece and didn't know the name of his players.
And hated the fact, and the only complaint he had was like, yeah, too many people were smoking in this
arena.
Yeah,
there was too much cigarette smoke in the arena. They were allowed to smoke indoors, yeah. And he didn't like that.
I got to get back to Jersey.
Yeah, exactly. That's college hoops for you. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
This hour, Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loan options for your family, Rocket can. We're going to mix it up next hour. We've got Will Gray Golf Channel. He'll join us 12 past the hour. We'll talk PGA Championship. That is this week at Kiawah Island in South Carolina. Then we'll do Good, Bad, and the Dumb at 40 past the hour. Charles Grodin passed away yesterday at the age of 86. probably the one actor I've seen forever. Probably my seen my whole life. Charles Grodin has been in everything. He was Dr. Hill in Rosemary's Baby, if you remember that movie from the 60s. Heartbreak Kid. He was in A Midnight Run. Do you know where I remember Charles Grodin the most as a young man, as a young child of the 80s?
Sesame Street.
Ah, close. Close. He played the villain in The Great Muppet Caper.
That's what I meant. I meant
that's
The Muppet
right.
Caper.
Yeah, The Muppet Caper. That's the one movie. Because we owned that movie on Laserdisc when I was a kid. We watched it over and over again. He played the villain, the jewel thief.
Yeah.
That the Muppets were trying to take down.
You know what and I was surprised about when I saw that news? I didn't realize he was 86.
Yeah, I know. That's right.
Because
yeah.
He's like, I think he's what, been like in his 50s and 60s forever.
Yeah, it feels
that's
like that.
That's how I always envisioned him. And then out of nowhere, he's like, oh, he died at the age of 86. I'm like, I had no clue he was that age.
Exactly. That's pushing amazing. 90. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Beethoven. He was in Beethoven.
Yep.
He was in Clifford and Dave. He was in a lot of movies.
I mean, he always played the same character, too.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's a good point. Every time you see Charles Grodin, he plays the same kind of character, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right, completely. A funny guy and a good actor and, a long, long Hollywood career. Started in the 50s, then passed away yesterday. So rest in peace, Charles Grodin. I did love The Great Muppet Caper. It was filmed in London, had a bunch of cameos, good stars. And again, he played the villain. And he had a little on-air romance with Miss Piggy. He loved Miss Piggy.
But who doesn't?
Who doesn't, right?
Kermit, who doesn't?
So in case you were kind of asleep at the golf wheel, the PGA Championship starts this week. Golf second major. Will Gray will join us coming up next hour as we continue at his wake-up call, Sports Map Radio.